All right. We need to take a moment and just have a moment of silence. Will you guys just close your eyes and bow your heads with me? We need to take a moment of silence for just a second for all of the Georgia fans that lost in the national championship. That's enough. That's enough respect for them. Roll Tide. All right. We are getting back into our series tonight on experiencing real, and we're talking through the book of 1 John. And the cool thing about the book of 1 John is it's like hitting us straight between the eyes exactly where we are today in our culture. And this was written 2,000 years ago, but it's not that different from what you and I are facing every single day right now in 2018. We're in 2018, by the way. Anybody had the chance already to be able to write 2018 on something? It was like cool. I love it every year. The first time I get to do it. So yeah, we're in 2018, and that's a long time from when this book was written. But this particular book, this letter that John wrote to this church, was dealing with such a similar thing that you and I have to deal with every single day. So it makes it really relevant to us. We're not just studying something that like really has nothing to do with our lives today. It's going to be very useful for you and me as we try to walk out of this building tonight and into a world that's going to look very similar to the culture that we see here. A culture that's telling us things like, it's okay to do whatever you want, to live however you want, and still claim the name of Jesus. It's okay as long as you go to church and you're really loving and kind and you're a spiritual person, then it's cool if you live however you want and do the things that you want to do. Just don't hurt people. And I hear that all the time. I hear it when I watch TV. I have people that I have discussions with in my friend groups that think that, and they tell me that all the time, and they know I'm a pastor, and they always want to argue with me on it. I'm like, I don't want to argue. I just want to tell you what Jesus says. But they're so adamant about the fact that why should I talk about somebody's sin if they're an okay person? As long as we're loving, then what does it matter the things that we do in private? Like, why should we be nosy into each other's lives and talk about things that God says to us we shouldn't do? And we've actually labeled that today as like intrusive and like so wrong, and we don't like people like that in our lives. So pretty often we'll just not go to church. We won't go to youth group once the pastor starts talking about things that are hitting a little too close to home. We find another youth group where they're not preaching on that, so we don't have to be convicted or feel weird. Our life group leader brings something up that we want to discuss that it's hitting home too hard, and we're like, no, let's not talk about this. And we take a few weeks off because we don't want to have to deal with those uncomfortable conversations about sin. And there's plenty of churches out there today that we can go to that aren't going to talk to you about sin anymore. They're okay with just saying, hey, live however you want, but keep coming to church. Let's keep yelling Jesus out in our worship because it's fun and we can sing and we love the music, but live however you want as long as you come and worship with us. And it seems to be a bigger and bigger trend every single year. But I need to tell you something tonight. We're not that place. If you're looking for a church home or a youth group that's going to just say, hey, do whatever you want, live however you want, we're not going to talk about sin in this place. This isn't that place. Because we believe something here. We believe that if we really truly love you and don't just say we love you, that we'll care about the things that are going on in your life. We'll care about you enough that when we see destructive things happening that God says, don't do that, it'll destroy your life, that we'll be bold enough to come to you and say, we love you. And we need to talk about this thing that's happening in your life right now. You see, it's easier to just let you do your thing. And everybody stays happy until all of a sudden the day comes where your sin comes to full fruition in your life and just wrecks everything around you. And we love you too much to be a place that doesn't warn you that sin destroys. We love you too much to stay silent in that. And that's exactly the message of John to this church 2,000 years ago. Because all the churches had started preaching in that area at the time. Do what you want. It's easier just to let you do what you want. And John said, no, I'm going to stand up because I actually love you. And I'm going to tell you the truth because I don't want you to destroy your life. And that's the theme of John's message. And so he's been giving us kind of these chunks of like truth to help us figure out, am I really following Jesus here? Do I really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If I've been saved, if I were to die tonight when I leave this place, would I actually be standing in heaven? Where would I go? And John wants to help us be able to leave here and feel confirmed that we truly are saved through the blood of Jesus. And so he gives us some things to chew on as we do this. And it's interesting, I showed you that commercial. There's like five different ones. Geico makes some hilarious commercials, but just that lady at the end pouring coffee on herself gets me. And she's like, oh, the giggle, I think. I don't know what it is, but it's hilarious. Like, she's just pouring hot coffee on herself. And it feels like when I think about sin in my life, I do such a similar thing to that. As ridiculous as that looks and sounds to me, as much as it makes me laugh, there's this thing that happens in me sometimes with sin that it's like I'm just taking this sin. I know it's bad for me. I know it's hurting my life, but I'm dumping it all over myself and I'm giggling about it. And I think how ridiculous that is, but how come I don't think it's that ridiculous when I engage in sinful things that are destroying me? And I giggle at the time, and I might even enjoy it at the time until it kicks in and I realize, what did I just do? And so it's not as insane as we think, because we do it every single day. We take this thing that God says about love and about sin and righteousness, and we kind of go like, which one am I going to pick? It's almost like when we visit churches, we have to like choose the flavor. Like, am I going to go to the church or the youth group that's always talking about my sin and always on my back and always nagging me and always talking about righteousness? But they don't love me and they don't care about me and they're not even nice to me. They don't even say hi to me. They don't call me throughout the week. They don't want to hang out with me. They just want to shove the Bible down my throat and never, ever care about actually like my life. But then we have this other group, so we say, I don't want that, and I fly over here to this type of youth group, and I go, well, this one over here, they don't ever say anything to me about partying on the weekends, or drugs, or my relationships with the opposite sex. Like, they just let me do whatever I want, and as long as we're loving and nice to each other, and smile and hug each other on Wednesday night, I could do anything. They don't ever say anything about what I do. And it's like these two extremes, where sometimes we feel like we have to pick one or the other. And John actually tonight is going to say, it's not either or. It's both and. Both are too extreme in a way where they need to meet in the middle, because John's going to point out both of these things are so important. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is what he gives us when he dies on a cross, so that you can be righteous, so your sin can be washed away. He gave his life for that. And he also commands us and says, the way I loved you when I went to a cross and had nails put through my hands and feet, that's how I want you to love each other. It's both and. It's not either or. When I was in college, somebody on the ski trip told me, I tell too many stories of like crazy things I do, because then I go up to you guys, I'm like, don't do dumb things on the ski trip and like break stuff. And they're like, but you do it all the time. We heard your stories. So I'm going to prove one that I actually made a good choice tonight, so I can prove Anthony wrong. I don't even know if he's here tonight. Tell him this one. But I was in college and I was with this group. Actually, this first part's kind of stupid. Don't do this either. But later you'll see what I'm talking about. So I was in college and I was part of this group that like we loved going out to these mountains where you could like do like fun stuff in the woods. Like there were these logs. We called it our log running group. And there were logs, lots of logs that had fallen over like rivers and like streams and creeks, and some that had like 25-foot like little valley type things, and a log would fall across it and you could like go across the logs. And so we had these competitions to see who could run the fastest over these logs. It was just like a thing. And it was fun, and they weren't always big, some weren't. And I was like in this like group of guys that would do that. And so I got a call one day and they're like, we're upping it. It's gonna be even more exciting this time. I'm like, what are we doing? And they called it was a log running jump roping party. And I'm like, sweet, so some girls are going to go and jump rope over here, and we're going to be running logs. It's going to be great. They'll like cheer us on. It'll be so much fun. Until we get there, and they hand me a stinking jump rope. And I'm like, well, I'm not jump roping. I don't want to be with the girls. I want to run logs. He's like, I know, take the rope. and jump rope over the log. I'm like, what? No way. And listen, here's the good part. I didn't do it. See? Mark that down. Take your phone out. Thank you. I need a little. I did not do it. File that in your head that I made a wise choice that day. I was like, you guys are nuts. I'm not doing this. And here I am thinking, like, when he first said it, I'm thinking, yeah, I'll do that. It's like, you know, either or. You're either going to jump rope or you're going to... And then he's like, no, it's both and. Like, this thing is what we're doing. And, you know, sometimes we look at life and we think it's like this buffet of choices. And we think that we can kind of put things in their own categories and we can say, either I'm going to live for Jesus or I'm going to just be really loving and let everyone do whatever they want. Jesus didn't do that when he went to the cross. He didn't separate these things out. It was a both and scenario. Now, I was on a cruise once with MICS took me. I got lucky enough to like go on one of their cruises with like a senior trip or something like that. Found out the cruise ship that took us like sunk like the week after. So it wasn't like a great boat, okay? But we're out there on this cruise and Coach Bob was there with us. And he was just like a teacher there. I was a teacher there. It was a long time ago. And we're sitting in like the dining room and their waiters are coming out all dressed fancy. And they're like offering us food. And if you guys have been on a cruise, you know where I'm going here. And I'm like, wow, like this food sounds good. And there's this one sandwich that they made. It was like French toast for the bread. And then like bacon and ham and cheese and like jelly. And like it's breakfast and lunch all in one in this amazing sandwich. And it had some dude's name. Does anyone know what that's called? I forgot. It was like Count something. Not Count Chocula. Something like that. Look it up later. It's awesome. And I was like, yes, right? So I get that. I ordered that. I'm so excited. I turned to Coach Bob. I'm like, what'd you get, bro? Like, what'd you order? And he's like, oh, man. So I got, and he lists like five different things. I'm like, excuse me? Like, how'd you get five things? He's like, it's a cruise. You can get everything. It's not this thing where you had to like choose one. I was so sad. But then I just ordered all the rest when the waiter came back, right? That's the beauty of cruises, is this idea that like you can, it's not like this choice you have to make between two really good things. I can either have this good thing or this good thing. Jesus has come to give us freedom to say, I want to give you righteousness and love. And they do fit together as much as our culture's saying they don't. As much as they're telling us you can't do both. And I want us to read, we're still in 1 John, so look there, 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 to 10, where John kind of explains this a little bit. He says in verse 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, and he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. By this it's evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. You see, it's not an either or. It's a both and. Jesus Christ died so that you could be righteous and so that you could be loving. And as a matter of fact, true righteousness requires that you love. And true love would require that you be righteous. It's the same thing. And so when he starts off in verse 4, look what he says. He says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Those phrases he's using of like practicing it, it's not like he's going out on a sports field. He's like, all right, everybody, let's practice being righteous today. All right, everybody be honest. Tell a true thing. Like, we're not like practicing like we would in a field. It's not this weird thing. What he's trying to say is if you have a lifestyle of righteousness. If you have a lifestyle that says, I want to follow Jesus, I don't want sin in my life. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect immediately and then all of a sudden I'm just going to wake up and I believed in Jesus and I never sin again. That will happen one day when you reach the gates of heaven. But right now what he's asking for us is to depend on him so that we are not running to sin. That our life says, I actually want to live for Jesus. How many of you guys tonight actually want to live for Jesus? Can you just shout something for me? Can I hear, like, I want to live for Jesus tonight? Okay, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that the ones, even the crazy ones who said that last thing there, those nutsos. All right, I hope you mean it. I hope you guys really mean that shout. Because as a youth group, if we could actually come together and say, like, we're that excited, but way more about living a lifestyle that says, I want Jesus in my life more than anything else. You know what you could do in this community? You know what would happen to your hometown? You know what would happen to your school? To the team that you play on? You'd look up when there's a group of people living like that and be like, holy cow, what just happened? This community would be different if these 80 people here lived for Jesus Christ like you just shouted, we want to. That's all it would take. Jesus took 12 guys and changed the entire world. Look at how many we have sitting around us saying, I want to be serious about this. I want my lifestyle to be about living for Jesus Christ. I hope you meant it. I hope that shout was real. And so he says in verse 5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. So some of you guys are like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But then we're like, I don't mean you guys, I'm just saying in general, right? Some of us say like, hey, I believe in Jesus. But then we go out and we do stuff that does not at all reflect Jesus. As a matter of fact, we directly disobey the things Jesus tells us to do. But yet we come back and we're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus. I wear the t-shirt, like I sing the songs, I got Christian friends, so yeah. And what John's reminding us in this is, do you remember something? Remember why he came? Do you remember why he hung on a cross? Do you remember why he died? Why he rose again 3 days later? It was to kick sin's butt. So that you wouldn't sin anymore. So that he could look at you and say, hey, listen, I'm taking my righteousness off and I'm putting it on you. And I'm taking your sin, your filthy, disgusting, rebellious sin that you don't even want to confess to your closest friends. Your sin that would absolutely crush you if your parents found out. Your sins that you don't even like to admit to yourself. Jesus says, give them to me. I want them. I want to take them away from you and I will wear them. I will wear your shame so you can have righteousness and be shameless before God. That's what he came to do. So when we go, Jesus, I love you, I want you, and then we still run and put sin all over us. He's like, I just took it off of you. I'm wearing it. I'm wearing your sin already. Why are you just heaping it over your head again? It makes no sense. It's like that lady dumping coffee on herself. Like, why would you dump that sin back on? Don't you remember that he came so you wouldn't sin? Listen to me. Sin is a big deal. And I'm not here tonight to make you feel bad. I'm not here tonight to judge you. I'm not going to walk away and talk behind your back because you were doing something. Heaven forbid I come up here and I open the Word of God and I tell you that sin is okay. Because my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He died so you wouldn't sin anymore. He died so that your lifestyle would be one of righteousness that says, Jesus, I want you more than anything else. Not so that you could turn back and say, let me have more sin. Don't you remember, he says, that he appeared in order to take away your sins. A few years back, I had a friend who, it was a family that was, they were kind of my friends, and they were my friends, they weren't kind of my friends. They were my friends, but they were a family. And they had a young dude in their family, little guy. He was like 14 years old, and he was in a wheelchair. And his dad was just one of the coolest, most godly guys they had ever met. Just an amazing dude. And a hard worker, loved his family, loved his son so much. He was in this wheelchair. And they were a basketball family. They loved basketball. And so they would always go to these games, and his son would be there with him and have to sit kind of like in a certain section because he was in a wheelchair. And he'd watch the games with his son, and his son would always just be watching, just like, man, I wish I could play. I wish I could play. I wish I could be out there. Imagine this young 14-year-old dude watching all these other guys out playing basketball. How much that would stink to be stuck on the sideline, not to be able to even get out there and like toss the ball or like shoot hoops. Like, you're just stuck. He couldn't walk. He couldn't play. So his dad prayed and prayed, and finally God gave him this calling, this idea. And so he decided he would go and he would start this basketball league for guys in wheelchairs in their local community. He didn't even know if there were many people that could even play. And all of a sudden, after a few weeks of starting this thing, this gym just packed out with guys who couldn't play because they were in wheelchairs. And so he started practices, and they started this league, and his son got to be a part of it. And we used to go and watch the games and see this kid out there, like, these guys in wheelchairs could do incredible things with a basketball. You wouldn't believe how good they are at basketball in their wheelchairs. And this kid was just a stud. I remember one week I showed up after a game and I walked in. I wanted to go in and congratulate this guy. And so I walk into this, like, the locker room area. I was going to go back and tell this kid, man, you did had just such a great game. And to my surprise, when I walked in, I kind of like interrupted something. And I hear him talking and I'm thinking, man, he's got to be so grateful that his dad did this, you know? And instead, I just heard him bashing everything about the league. Everything about his dad. I didn't even know what to say. Like, I was just speechless as I stood there. Like, how could you? Do you even know what your dad, how much he loves you? Do you even know that he did all of this for you? And that thought came to my mind. Don't you know why he did this? I pulled him aside later. I was like, man, I heard what you said. He's like, I didn't even think about it that way. He fell to tears. He was like, man, you're right. My dad loves me so much. And I feel like John's having that talk with us tonight. John's looking at us saying, hey, Christians, those of you guys who say you believe in Jesus, don't you remember why he did it? Don't run to sin. Don't shove sin back on top of yourself after Jesus has already come to take it away from you. He says, live a righteous life because that's why he came. Verse 6, John says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. Your sin should stop. Your lifestyle of sin should stop. You should stop desiring it so much that you're just constantly living this thing freely without any regret. Like, I just love to sin and I'm okay with it. No big deal. Stop telling me about it. I'm not saying that all of a sudden you'll be perfect, like I said before, okay? There are moments we slip and we fall, and the Holy Spirit grows us through that. Here's what I am saying. That you're not the person who's like, I just don't care. I'm not even trying. I enjoy my sin. It says, if Jesus has really done something in your heart, that won't be you. And if it is you, you need to look back and say, have I actually believed in Christ? Am I truly saved and changed? Will I, if I die today, really be standing before God and not in hell? Because it should change you and your desires. And so he says in verse 7, little children. He's like, I love you guys. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to judge you. I just love you so much. You're like my little children. He says, let no one deceive you. I don't want you to walk out of here and have your friends tell you that it's okay for you to go smoke pot. It's okay to go party this weekend. It's okay to meet up after church and go drinking. It's okay to go do these things, lie to your parents, do things behind their back. It's okay to cheat. It's okay. It's just this one time. It's no big deal. Everybody does it. Do you hear the deceitful lies? Jesus is like, don't you remember why I came? To put that stuff to death. The things that will destroy you, I came to put them to death so you would follow me. Let no one deceive you. And he says, whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. You'll be like Jesus. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. If you're righteous, you're going to follow Christ. But if you have a lifestyle of sin, then it means you're still a child of the devil. You haven't been saved. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. It's not new to him. From the very start, he's been lying to us in the garden. Adam and Eve. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So don't run back to him. Verse 9, he says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. If you're truly God's child, for God's seed abides in him. Now, I'm going to ask you a quick question. What's the seed of God that's abiding in you if you believe in him? What is it? It's this person. And his name's the Holy Spirit. So those of you guys who've been like, I believe in Jesus, and you've prayed and you've said, God, I repent of my sin and I want Christ. You've been given a person who is God, the Holy Spirit living in you. It's the seed of God. And God speaks to your heart. So as you go to sin and you're about to do something, the Holy Spirit says, hey, what are you doing? Stop. Don't do that. It's called conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart as you're about to sin. And he says, stop right where you're at. And you hear that and you feel that. And you either respond and obey, or you say, I'm following my sin. It's that moment where the seed of God, the Holy Spirit, says, follow me. Don't choose sin. Because he has been born of God. Those of us who truly follow Christ, if you really believe, you have that Holy Spirit in you. If you never feel convicted when it comes to sin, you might need to sit down before God and say, Lord, I need to be saved. I don't have your Holy Spirit. If I don't have your Holy Spirit, I'm not saved. You might need to stop and say, God, forgive me. Save me. Give me your Holy Spirit so I know I am born of you, that I'm your child, and that I'm saved. Verse 9 is a big verse because sometimes we skip over that Holy Spirit part. We think it's about behavior. We think it's about, hey, Rob just wants us to behave in school and Coach Bob calls him up, or Mrs. Ingrata from Edgewood calls you up and... No, we don't have these like backroom conversations about your behavior, okay? And I get up here and I'm like, yeah, Mrs. Molly Vega from MIHS, she said you guys were misbehaving, so you guys need to behave better. It's not how it goes down. This isn't a behavior change for you. This isn't about a list we're making to make sure you guys like act better in class and don't cheat on your homework. This isn't like some group of adults that in like some really conspiracy way get together like, how can we make their lives miserable? Like, we don't do that. This is God who loves you, who designed you perfectly, and then died for you and rose again. This God is the one telling us you will destroy yourself if you chase sin. So chase me and have life. It's about your entire heart changing, not just your behavior. It's about you saying, I love you more than anything. And you literally die with Jesus. And then you're raised again. It's this beautiful picture that we see in baptism. You guys know what baptism is, right? When we baptize someone after they're saved, when they say, God, forgive me of my sin. I want to be saved. We take you and we bring you to some water that's not magical at all. It doesn't save you. You've already been saved because your heart believed. But we bring you to the water so that people sitting in the church can see you. And they can know what you did. And it represents something. As we dunk you back into the water, it's like Jesus going into the earth, into the grave. And you're like, it's like you dying with Jesus. It's a representation that you've said, sin, no more. And then as we raise you back up, it's like coming back from the grave and living with Jesus. Living a life that only Jesus can help you live. That's why baptism is so important. And a lot of students today, a lot of teenagers today, and it's so hard to convince you why baptism is important. It's like, I'll raise my hand and I'll be saved, but don't talk to me about baptism. That's some weird old thing you guys do. But it's not a weird old thing. It's this thing that Jesus himself commands us to do after we're saved. Jesus says, follow me. Your first act of obedience I want from you. The very first thing I'm asking is that after you're saved, that you go be baptized at your church. So you can understand that you're part of a body, my body, that loves you, that can come around and talk to you about Jesus encourage you, call you out when you're sinning, be your friend, be your brother, and love you. It's so important. If you're going to live this life, that you're surrounded by the body of Jesus Christ. And that's what baptism does for us. So if you guys are here and you're like, man, I was saved a while back and I've never been baptized, can I encourage you to do it? To paint this picture for people around you as they see you be baptized so they can see you expressing the good news of Jesus right there, right in front of them. That your life has been changed as you died with Jesus and rose to brand new life. I want you to pray tonight about being baptized if you haven't been and you've already believed in Jesus. And then finally, look at that last verse. Verse 10, he gives us the test. And here's the question where I want to end with. And I want you to ask yourself this tonight. By this, it's evident. So here's how you'll know, he says. Who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil? Here's how you figure it out. Are you God's child or are you the devil's child? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. If you are living and sinning freely with no conviction in your heart that you're wrong, then you're probably a child of the devil. You haven't been saved. You haven't had the Holy Spirit in you. Or he says, nor is the one who doesn't love his brother. If you've got the whole Bible memorized and you've got the actions down and the behavior right, but you don't know how to love people, it hasn't actually impacted your heart, and you're probably not God's child either. The super spirituals, the super religious that are the most unloving people you've ever met probably still haven't received that Holy Spirit that causes us to love each other. It's not either or. It's both and. It's righteousness and love. You guys bow your heads with me for just a second. Guys, I've had so many students from the past come back and visit me. And while they were at Firehouse, I'll tell you what, like they were like the ones that would show up to campouts and all the events. And they'd even go on mission trips and they'd do all these different things with us. And it seemed like they really believed. Like they were on fire. They were excited for Jesus. But coming back years later and talking to me and being like, listen, like I don't really believe that stuff anymore. I love you. You're my pastor. You're my friend. But I'm not a church guy anymore. Like, what happened to you? Well, I just don't see how churches can only talk about sin and then not love me. I feel judged. I feel like all they care about is telling me how bad I am. I just don't believe this stuff. And it breaks my heart to hear that they still think it's an either or. It breaks my heart to think that they've been in places and churches that think it's an either or and that have treated them that way. And I was so glad they came back here. So we could sit and say, listen, it's not an either or, it's a both and. God does want us to be righteous. And he wants us to love each other. I don't know how you feel tonight. I don't know what your view of church is tonight, or Christians, or even pastors as I stand up here. Like, what do you think about me? I want you to know how I feel. I love you. But I love you enough to tell you that sin will destroy you. It's both and. If you're here tonight, and there's some sin in your life that you have not dealt with, and you're like, I don't know Jesus. I've never taken that step to say, I want to be saved. And I need to tonight. I want to know that when I leave this place, if I die tonight, that I'll be with Jesus. I don't want to not know what my future holds. Can I ask you, will you just raise your hand up tonight and say, that's me? Like, I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be made right with God. Rob, will you just pray for me? If you raise your hand, that will just tell me that I could pray for you tonight. You're saying, listen, I want to be saved tonight. I want to be forgiven of my sin. Rob, pray for me. Just raise your hand up so I can see it. There's some people here too that are saying, you guys can put your hands. There's some people here tonight that are saying, listen, I'm saved, Rob. Like, I believe in Jesus, but I've been messing up. And I don't understand why I'm running to pour the sin back over my head like that hot coffee. So stupid. I don't want to do it anymore. We shouted a few minutes ago, hey, I want to live for Jesus. That's me. I want to live for Jesus. I want to push my sin aside and say, I want righteousness and love, and I'm choosing Jesus above everything else. Will you just pray for me that I have the courage to really do that and not just shout because we're in youth group? Will you raise your hand if that's you tonight? Pray for me. Give me boldness and courage to live on fire for Jesus Christ. Let me see some hands tonight if you believe that. Rob, pray for me. I shouted a few minutes ago, I mean it. I mean this thing. Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. Let me pray for you before we leave. Father God, thank you that Jesus Christ gave everything for us. Thank you that you came to get rid of sin because it's good for us. Convince us of that, God. Cause us to follow you because we know you've done it for our best. Jesus, let us desire righteousness and love. Father, if there's people who haven't been baptized tonight, I pray that they would come talk to their leader tonight and that they would say, I need to be baptized. I want people to know that I believe in Jesus Christ. Cause them to take that next step of obedience tonight, Lord. We love you and we lay this in your hands. Hear us as we finish tonight out worshiping your name. It's in your name we pray. Amen.